Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
Very, very early on when I did this show, one of the first lessons I was given was the idea that this was not going to be good for a while. And there are times when I listen back to recent interviews and I don't know, as the Gen Zs say, cringe. Yeah, by the way, that was a word before Gen Z took it. I don't understand what. Whatever. Look, we're very far in here. New Year's is coming up. I want to talk about the Middle East. You ever have one of those bars, the chocolate bars with the exploding pops in them, like the Pop Rocks candy? Those cow bars. You can get them in the Middle East. They're really good. That's all I wanted to say. Okay, so I'm sure I tripped up some algorithm here. You know, it's interesting, too. This year, last year, was the year of me getting booted off platforms for things far less controversial than any of my Facebook friends or Instagram followers have posted. I mean, I'm not posting about Flat Earth on a regular basis. I'm not talking questioning the mainstream narrative of 9/11, except in one of the... Oh, yeah, I also did that in an early episode. Look, I'm here to question things, to look at things from both angles, give a little humanity to the fringe, to people that may not otherwise get their voice heard. And I hope I've succeeded in that. But what I wanted to come on and talk about today was something very early on that I did. Because as I was told during the show, I was told by my coach, Spencer Burnett, Greg, your first 10 episodes are going to suck, and no matter what, and you'll look back fondly on them. I'm remembering one of the practices I did back then, which was when I had extreme self-doubt that I would have anything to say and that I even wanted to do this podcast, I would just press record and go. And that's where I am. I mean, I am a performer at my core. It's what I love doing. I probably love speaking. Is that true? Someone should point that out to me, if that is. If you think I like talking, let me know. Yeah, and I've had a great time And this sounds like the end. It's not. It's not the end. It's the end of 2023. I've had a great time this past year doing this show. Yes, I haven't put the episodes out as frequently as I would have liked, but I feel like my psyche was going through so much last year. I mean, this whole AI thing, this whole digital overwhelm that we're encountering and the way that people are responding to it. I mean, it's, let me put it this way. I began last year, 2023, during my time off, I read the book Building a Second Brain by Tiago Forte. And it was good. I never encountered this idea. I mean, in a way, a second brain is exactly what would happen for a show like this, or it would help make a show like this happen, because when you're exploring so many different topics, the ability to keep track of all these things gets overwhelming. The whole premise of a second brain is that because we're consuming so much information from all these different sources, YouTube videos, articles, blog posts, TikTok, you know, reading books, lectures, classes, what have you, it's sometimes hard to have access to that information when you need it. So the second brain idea is saying, hey, offload the work of getting all this sorted in your head, learning memory palaces and all these symbols and systems to pull up things when you need them, and just put it in a notebook. Put it on a note app. And you'll see there's been a rise of this, the personal knowledge management systems. I was familiar with the customer relationship management systems. I've done it in my sales roles. But the idea of storing your personal knowledge somewhere and have it easy to retrieve, I thought was a remarkable thing. It could help with the hypnosis knowledge, the conspiracies, the aliens, the time travel, all this stuff. You can be being able to pull it out has been great. Now, unfortunately, what this ended up doing for me is it caused me to spiral into a world of figuring out what was going to be the perfect knowledge management system, which is interesting because Tiago Forte is often talking about that publicly, how the biggest struggle is just getting started. But then once I found all these systems, I'm going, well, do I put this in Notion now? What if, oh, well, you know, it would allow me to be really creative. Obsidian. This guy, Nick Milo, he has a, I think it's Nick Milo, he has linking your thinking, coming up with tags for all these thoughts. Now look, this is all based on the Zettelkasten method of note-taking. James Tripp has talked about it on this show, this idea that you, each thing you learn is an independent thought, you sort it, you catalog it. This guy was able to just write so many books because of the Zettelkasten, as he called it. Some German scholar. Of course it was some German who's obsessed with organization. Wow. Are we shocked? You know, it's really... it's a cool thought. Now, that said, after a year of this, I've come now to a point in my life where I don't really care about the Zettelkasten as much. I do, and I do think there's something to storing your notes, but getting it right doesn't matter, and even having the full system doesn't matter, because to me, all this stuff is relying on some future state of when you're going to need things, when really, most of the time, after I'm learning something immediately, I would do better by me. It would be more meaningful if I could teach things back immediately. I mean, I'm re-listening to some John Overdurf, the NLP change master, and I've talked about him so many times on the show because of his Beyond Goals method. And his way of moving from beyond smart goals and moving towards states of being. Because when you achieve the goal, what does everyone say? Oh, I felt it. I won the lottery. I achieved this job. And then it disappears. versus realizing that the body is a kinesthetic system. We're nonlinear. We're always living in the now of each moment, therefore get to a place where you already feel good or feel the way you want to be feeling down the line, and then just moving from that place, taking a small step, keeping maintaining that state as you go, making it about the process, not about the outcome. Yes, you can have outcomes. I do think outcomes give you direction, but if you can get into the state of how you want to feel after you've accomplished something, and even takes it to the place of decisions, how deciding things. Again, I don't want to give away all John's stuff, but, you know, you're getting some good nuggets here. If you're stuck between decisions, you're so much better off time traveling in your head to the place where you've made the right decision. Go to how you feel then. And then stick with that feeling, teleport yourself to the present, and then make a move. Interesting, right? The idea of that states transcend time. I do think there is really a connection between states of being, altered consciousness, and the supernatural and paranormal phenomenon that a lot of my guests talk about. That is kind of the one of the bigger projects hidden in the background here that I'm very much listening with a hypnotist, a psychological, an illusionist's perspective, and going, yeah, how does this connect to this? And is there a grand overarching theory of fantasy reality, the impossible, the way the mind is able to create impossibility or already is existing in impossible? And really, it's up to us to realize that because it already is there, that which we already deem as the goals, the intentions, the possibilities, is so much more of a small step compared to that which we don't know. You know, I mean, I do think that is kind of the brilliance of going beyond science and the scientific method, or at least adapting wonder, no matter what, as your belief that holds it all together. And as you listen to this, do you realize what wonderful things you can bring into the world next year? Because it is about creation. And when we're stuck cataloging in such a left brain way all the things we've learned and systematizing things, you know, there's been a big movement recently. You even hear it from Tim Ferriss, the 4-hour work week guy, the 4-hour body. There's been a big movement to move from productivity hacking towards meaning hacking. And I was going to say hacking, but I feel like hacking is well, it works on both levels. And on the one thing, it's a shortcut, but then also it's hacking away at something, which to me means that, you know, a life hack is I get why it's the same etymology. A life hack is cutting away process where sometimes it may be a consequence of you end up losing meaning in your life. People that say, oh, I just wish I was good at this skill immediately without taking the time to learn the skill. So much of what people recount as meaningful is what we were saying before, the step-by-step learning of a process, the step-by-step building of your business empire, the step-by-step of doing this podcast. You know, when I sat down and pressed record, I didn't know it was going to come out, and I'm still not sure what is coming out is coherent, but I have to tell you, I put myself in a state where I said, I enjoy speaking into the microphone, and there's been a lot on my mind these past 365 days that I haven't spoken about, and when I am able to voice it to someone that cares, well, I get lit up inside, and I want to talk more. Well, that's a simple thing to do. So I guess the thing I would ask you is, rather than being stuck on finding the constructs of the ways to live life, how do I live life? How do I master my mind? How do I do this thing, build this new system? Because I did spend a lot of time doing that last year. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out, to get this digital notepad and all this stuff, but I didn't spend a lot of time writing notes. I didn't spend a lot of time talking about what I learned. I didn't spend as much time as I would have liked pressing record. So that is what I want to do this year. I want to press record. And if you're going to listen to it more, I hope you do. Because I've noticed there is a big disparity between the voice in my head that goes, this is boring, you hate this, you don't like this, you don't want to create, you're not a creator. And actually sitting down and recording and doing it, there's such a big disparity. I almost feel that if you are a person that overthinks things, and by that I mean it's not even overthinking, it's just you're thinking. Much of your activity is thinking rather than creating and building and expressing, then chances are your baseline isn't going to be great. Your baseline emotional state isn't going to be great. I know mine isn't. Because I'll tell you, up until I sat down and pressed play, my brain was going, this is going to suck. This is bad. You're not going to enjoy recording this. And yet now that I'm here, I do. So that's what I want to discover more in 2024. Yes, I may set up some systems, but I'm actually going to set them up and not research. So much is research, but not actually implementing. Implement. See what happens. It's so cliche to just say, just do it. But I think what we have to realize is that doing it is actually the way to think out of it. We can't think out of it. It's the doing that forces you into a different state, the flow state, and gets you into meaning. Doing equals meaning. That's what I didn't understand for so long. So I hope you do a lot this next year. And I hope you take on what I've learned, which is build more meaningful experiences by doing. If you could write that down, I think that's the affirmation. I didn't even realize that this was going to come out of this. But that's, you know, because you think so much of the time. It's thinking on things and looking for meaning. And that's what I've been missing. Doing equals meaning. Happy New Year. I love you all. And I look forward to opening more loops. I'm Greg Bornstein. Take care, everybody.